Why? Because that's what people want. They want to go somewhere where they can have their own opinion and be their own God. You come here and you ask a question, and we're going to say, well, if the Bible says anything about it, here's the answer. But down there, well, how do you feel about that? What do you think?
Doesn't matter.
The ecumenical people send me their email for their monthly meeting. It's always a Buddhist or a Hindu or someone, you know, and all the Christian churches around here gather in there and claim they're praying to the same God. I show, but you know, America has been getting brainwashed into this idea, really going back to before World War II. John Dewey, you know, and the whole system. And I showed you the clip, like, you know, even the good stuff on TV. We showed you the clip of Michael Landon and Victor French and Highway to Heaven. I showed you the clip where they're saying that. I was just reading to Jenny on the way in today, Dick Van Dyke. I love that guy. I just love Dick Van Dyke. And he's such a nice guy. And I saw where he told his son, Barry, you know, he should read the Bible. And he said that when he was a kid, he read through the Bible and everything. So I thought, wow, I didn't know. I'd never heard anything about him being a Christian. So I got his autobiography, My Lucky Life in and Out of Show Business, and about halfway through. And he took his family to a Presbyterian church every week. And he'd actually even taught Sunday school in the one back in Indiana. Then he moved to California, and they attended Presbyterian church there. Then he started saying, you know, well, I believe there's something up there that we'll probably have to answer to. He says, but is there one way? No, not as far as I can see. And he basically has nothing to do with the gospel, and it's all that do good, feel good religion. And it's really sad. Dick? He said he had a drinking problem. He's 90, I think he's, isn't he my grandma's age, 97? He's still alive. He's born the same year as Grandma Doris. Still pray for him, he can still be saved. Yeah, Doug.
Question to ask about, I thought that the conservative Methodists were the
No, these are people who are in the United Methodist Church, the denomination, who just this past month pulled out. This is a new thing that developed. And I knew not to expect much. But they have women preachers and all that, you know. But they were just against the gay marriage thing for the most part. That was the big thing that they split off. Credit where it's due, but it won't be long. They'll probably be joining back up with them, you know. But God wants sinners to repent toward Him. Seek ye me, and ye shall live. So, I don't believe God ordained that only a few people here in the end times would be saved and that all the churches would go apostate. I don't think God made that happen. I'm not a Calvinist. But I believe God knows everything. And God orchestrates His plan without violating the free will of man. And that God knew what was going to happen, and He is acting accordingly. And if there had been a great revival before the end, He would have told you that. But He knew better, so He told us what would really happen. There'd be a great falling away.
Yep. Amen.
Acts 20:21, this was what Paul the Apostle's ministry, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's will. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to tell people how that Christ died for their sins, shed His blood to pay for their sins, was buried and rose again after 3 days, and then call on them to repent and believe that gospel.
Amen.
And even most fundamental churches today are softballing that so that they get bigger numbers, and they're not calling on people to repent. And so people are just, well, I believe the gospel, get my name in the book, free ride. Hey, yeah, I'll do that. It doesn't have anything to do with a heart turning to God. That's what it says, repentance toward God. So scripture with scripture, Jesus commissioned Saul, who was then later called Paul, for this very purpose. Look over to Acts 26. Acts 26, beginning verse 15. And Brother Charlie's going to read to us. And this is the commission given by Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul. Verses 15 through 18. This was on the road to Damascus. This is after the road to Damascus. He's recounting his calling in front of Agrippa. Go ahead.
And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me."
Now those are the words of Jesus Christ. And do you know that there are fundamental preachers today who are saying that that is works and that that is not what we're to do? There are people who are telling you all you do is preach the gospel and call on them to believe without any reference to the fact that Christ died for their sins according to the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Christ died for our sins, not just our unbelief.
Amen.
And they're out there saying, "No, he died because what's keeping you from being saved is your unbelief." No, it is not. It is your sins.
Yeah.
And because of unbelief, you will not repent.
Amen.
And have your sins forgiven. This is just a dead orthodox, soft-shelled gospel being preached today so that you can schmooze a few more people and have a few more numbers to put on the wall. It's really a shame and a disgrace. God's purpose is to call sinners to repentance. You preach Jesus crucified, preach Jesus buried and risen again, and then you call on them to repent. You don't have to be mean about it, yell at them and scream at them, but you do have to call on them to repent. And making it easy, all you're doing is sending them to hell. You either preach the true gospel and call on them to repent and believe on that. And that, yes, means repenting of everything. Not just sins, of everything. Everything you are, you should repent of. Everything you are is wicked. It's fallen. It's stained with sin. You have to repent of all and go empty-handed to God.
Amen.
And you go read the old preachers, read the old sermons, and that's how they preached it. But today, man, it's soft sell time. Amos was no soft seller. Verses 5 and 6, he says, "But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal," because it's useless. It's useless religion. Every apostate church I referred to earlier, that's who he's talking about. I had some lady call me up to chew me out because I was talking about the preachers in town being apostate. And saying, "Oh, it's a dangerous thing for you to do." I said, "Lady, what you're doing right now is dangerous. I am preaching the Word of God. I am telling people the truth in a time of apostasy. And you're being used of Satan to try to silence a preacher who's telling people the truth."
Amen.
"She'll never come to church here, preacher." Exactly. I don't want some witch like that coming in here. Those are the women and men who come into churches and cause the problems. But if all you're worried about is numbers and filling the pews instead of being faithful to the Lord, well, that explains what's happening.
Amen.
Don't go to Bethel. Don't go to Joel Osteen. Don't go to Bethel. Don't go to TBN. Don't go to Gilgal. Don't go to the Roman Catholic Church. Don't go to Gilgal. Don't go to Joyce Meyer. Amen. Don't go to Gilgal. Don't go to Creflo Dollar. I mean, you know, T.D. Jakes. I mean, name them. False teachers preaching a false gospel with false doctrine and milking people like goats. And we're supposed to be sheep. Amen.
Amen.
I'm getting preachy tonight. And it's not just because I was in a bad mood.
Preach!
I was preaching to myself when I was studying this. But look what it says there. Seek the Lord and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Seeking anything or anyone other than God results in fire. You want his blessing? You turn to him in repentance and receive him on his terms. Otherwise, you get fire.
Amen.
7 and 8. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. Wormwood means bitterness. A star, wormwood, fall in tribulation and turn all the waters to bitterness. And leave off righteousness in the earth. Seek him again. Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Amos appeals to God's omnipotent power over nature. He's telling people, listen, folks, look around, and you see the power of God, and you're going to mess with him about that? You can see these same type of references in Job 9, 4 through 10, Job 38, 31 through 34. Yeah, Jenny?
This show, we've been watching Ancient Aliens. They've talked a lot about how, like, people who believe aliens are coming back, Orion has a big importance to them, like Orion's belt.
Yeah.
So I find it cool that God's...
Cool.
People specifically, I made Orion.
Yeah.
So it's not connected to...
Cool and ironic. Yeah. The seven stars there is a reference to a constellation called Pleiades. And when it appeared over the sky, over Israel, it marked the beginning of spring. And then Orion was a constellation whose appearance in the sky over Israel marks the beginning of the cold, rain, and frost. He's saying you have no control over that. God is in control. The rest of verse 8 describes the solar cycle and the water cycle, the evaporation cycle, whatever you want to call it, that, again, man has no control over. Although with HARP and other science and technology, they're trying to manipulate the weather. And who knows? According to Genesis 10, anything they imagine they can do. So it may happen. But you think of the herdsman. Amos was a herdsman. And he would have relied on the skies and the proper care of his herds and flocks. Amos had a sky app. He just look up, and he would see what the sky would tell you. And then go back to Genesis, and God said that's why he created those things. It wasn't to tell your future. It wasn't for horoscopes, all that satanic garbage. It was to show you the signs and the seasons. You would know what was going on by the constellations, by the position of the sun, and so forth. So then verse 9, that strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. God doesn't allow the one with the most power to always win. These people had gotten used to the power that he's talking. Remember the kine of Bashan? He's talking about the elitist women who are all well-dressed and, ate well and everything. But he was showing them, first of all, he took a lot of that away from them. And it said they started to have clean teeth after a while because they didn't have food to eat and all that. These people were used to being the elite and getting by with it. And God says, it isn't always going to be the case. We're about to see the end of that. They had totally taken advantage of all the poor people and taken everything they could away from the poor. That's really what's happening right now. The Fed is all about taking the money from the people. The Fed is a form of taxation and inflation. Yep. And it is orchestrated to keep you poorer and poorer. And they're wanting to bring down the Western world to the same level economically as the third world. But not them. The people involved in the system, the people in the Council of Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergers, the Bohemian Grove and all that, the upper level of the Freemasons, the Jesuits, the Vatican, all those people, they're going to eat well, they're going to stay in air conditioning in the summer and have heat in the winter and all that. But they want to bring the majority of the people down.
Yeah.
And we'll all be on that same level of poor. And that's what the Antichrist will do when he inflicts his mark. Verse 10, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. It's like Sodom.
Yeah.
Remember, Sodom said, don't judge. Johnny's going to read it to us. Pagans, heathen, idolaters, sodomites, liberals, progressives, stink by any other name. They all talk alike. Johnny, read that to us. Genesis 19, 9 through 11. You remember, they come to Lot's door. The angels are there, and they're wanting to rape the angels.
Yep.
And they said, wait a minute. Yep. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door.
So what, this man's going to be a judge. Don't judge us. That's what it's all about. And we must stand even when we're hated. Folks, I'm going to stand. It doesn't have anything to do with sentimentalism. It doesn't have anything to do with anything else other than I know they were right. So you find your fundamental preachers of the 1980s, and when they stood with the Word of God against the Sodomites, and the way they stood against the Sodomites, I'm not going to lose sleep over hearing somebody say the word queer or fag or something else against that sickening, depraved lifestyle. And that's how our forefathers stood against Sodom, and that's how I'm going to stand against Sodom. And I don't care who likes it or who doesn't. I am not going to change the stand because I'm surrounded by a bunch of people who are a part of the apostasy.
Amen.
And this church, as long as I have breath, will continue to be right where we were in the 1980s, the 1970s, the 1960s, the 1700s, the 1600s, the 1200s, the 100s.
Amen.
The date on the calendar doesn't change a thing. Verse 11, for as much therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. God's got sick of this stuff that's going on right now where they're jacking up your gas prices because they know they don't have to suffer. They will try to push their electric garbage junk down your throat, push off this solar crap that doesn't last more than a couple of years, and you go do your research, you find that some people have spent, how much was it, Jenny, that we saw they were spending like $30,000, $60,000 to install this stuff, and it doesn't work.
Really?
It's garbage. Then you can go Michael Moore's Planet of the Humans, where he shows that the way that they develop this stuff destroys the environment. So it doesn't have anything to do with green technology and a green economy. It's a way to make you broke. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's right. The green economy, that's what they mean. Amen. So the prosperity of the wicked will end.
Amen.
There's coming a day. We have to keep the eternal perspective as we live in such wicked times. And it does get old, doesn't it? I mean, it does get old. That's why I just tell you, turn off the TV sometimes. Turn off the internet, whatever, and get away from it. You can only spend so much time dealing with this nonsense. But you do have to be informed. I mean, that's why we have the current events updates. And you do need to check in on things and see what's going on. But man, once you start to feel it kind of burden you and drag you down, turn it off and get with the Lord and, you know, do whatever to get away from it. Who's going to read 2 Peter 3:8 through 10? Go ahead, Jessica.
But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
It's all going to burn, amen?
Amen.
But look, in between that promise, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But before that, it reminds us that with the Lord, it's only been a couple of days since Jesus ascended to heaven. It's only been a couple of days. And then it ends with the promise there that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It's coming. How many of you thought, you know, school would never end?
Yeah.
Now you look back and you're like, man, where did the time go? Yeah? Who's got 3, 11 through 13? Who has 2 Peter 3, 11 through 13? Yeah, you got to write down yours, not everybody else's. Go ahead. Go ahead. 2 Peter 3, 11 through 13.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godlessness?
That's the opposite.
Godliness,
yeah.
Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with ferment and heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Amen. So,
God will win.
God will win. And, you know, I've heard people talk about it. They act like you're supposed to feel guilty for wanting to see this happen. Listen, God will win, and you win if you're on His side. So when all this happens, yes, I'm sorry to see anybody die and perish and go to hell. I can't tell you. I know my feelings about it is nowhere near the level of God's. God doesn't want to see that. And yet, there's a thing called justice. And there are people who have chosen to do that. Chosen to perish. Chosen to go to hell. I'm ready to go on and get this thing over with.
Amen.
I'm ready to go be with the Lord. Verse 12, "For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. They silence righteous judges and promote corrupt judges."
Yeah.
That's the work of the left in this country right now. Yeah. That's what they're all about. They want to put judges who will not interpret the original intent of the Constitution and just make up stuff.
Right.
They're wicked. And it's been the liberal agenda since Woodrow Wilson's who started all this. FDR put it in high gear, but don't blame the Democrats. It was Eisenhower and Nixon who put the men on the Supreme Court that legalized abortion. Two Republicans. And Trump gave us three justices that made it possible to overturn Roe v. Wade. And you think all these fake evangelicals and these fake Republicans will give him credit for that? That's who you know who you're dealing with. Verse 13, "Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time." That explains the silent majority. "Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time." This doesn't mean we never speak. But it means we must use wisdom. Go ahead and read that, Jill. Proverbs 29:2, and then verse 11.
"When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn."
Amen.
Amen.
Now verse 11.
A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards.
That verse has kept me out of a lot of trouble. And sometimes I've ignored it and gotten in trouble. I've been a fool from time to time. But we better all be very careful. One thing is to know your audience.
Amen.
Know who you're talking to. And it doesn't mean you play the coward, but if you do the crime, be ready to do the time. Amen?
Yeah.
How many times have we seen people take a bold stand and then when it comes down on them, they crumble? Yep. Don't do it unless you know you're ready to stand and pay the price. Matthew 7:6. Jared? Matthew 7:6 is the wisdom of Christ on this matter.
Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you.
So there, Jesus isn't saying, yeah, just say whatever anytime and let them just trample over you. You know, I won't name names for the online, but we've dealt with this recently in prayer for people when it comes to where to work and how to deal with things and what to say and when. There's times where you do just pray. There's times where you pick your battles and that sort of thing. And that's what was going on there. And I'm going to stop there. We'll pick up in verse 14 next time instead of 16. But you do what you can do. That's all that you can do with God's help. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, that isn't my wisdom. But I want to tell you, if you want to listen to something from me as a word of wisdom, there, that's one of the best I've ever been given. You'd drive yourself crazy if you think you're supposed to save the world. And you drive yourself crazy if you can't just face the fact that there are going to be people that we have had people fall away from the Lord. We've had people turn against the Lord. We've had people turn against us. We have no clue why, or we know that it's just that they gave themselves over to this world and to wickedness. And we have no real explanation. It's out of our control. We can only do what we can do. I'm amazed that we're where we are. I'm amazed we had 4 years without a liberal in the White House. I never believed, if it took faith to get Roe v. Wade overturned, it would never have happened if it was up to me, because I had no faith in that happening. I just believed that God was going to hand this country over, and the next thing I thought was going to be maybe a complete bloodletting to pay for all the babies murdered. Instead, Roe v. Wade is overturned, something I thought never would come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
So God's grace and long-suffering and mercy is amazing.
Yes.
But I'll tell you this, I didn't have much to do with that.
No.
I mean, I spoke out for life, and I've preached on it, and I've given here and there, and my time and money on occasion and everything, but I know if it was up to me, it would have never happened.
Yeah.
And thankfully, credit again, Donald Trump said it was God. I mean, he wants the political credit because he's running for office again, and he should get it. But they asked him about it, and he said, God made the decision.
Amen.
That was his words. And that's what I tell people. I believe God deserves the credit, and part of that credit is for giving us Donald Trump. And yes, I still believe he needs prayer. I believe he needs to be saved. And I believe there's a lot of good politicians who all need to be saved, but thank God for every one of them who do the right thing. And God has used them to give us a little reprieve. So next week we'll actually pick up with verse 14. Let's sing a closing song. 332.
My Jesus, I love Thee, I know. I love thee because I
Let's say goodbye on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air. Good night, everybody.